Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Welcome back. Historian Doris Kearns Goodwin's bestseller on President Lincoln, Team of Rivals, about how Lincoln chose political rivals for his cabinet, found a fan in President Obama and in Steven Spielberg, whose just released film Lincoln is partly based on her book. The film focuses on an epic legislative battle in the midst of the Civil War, President Lincoln's successful effort to pass the 13th Amendment to abolish slavery before the war ends. In an early scene, Lincoln's Secretary of State William Seward, played by actor David Strayhorn, tries to talk the president, played by Daniel Day-Lewis, into putting off this battle.
We'll win the war soon. It's inevitable, isn't it?
Well, it ain't won yet.
You'll begin your second term, a semi-divine stature. Imagine the possibilities peace will bring. Why tarnish your invaluable luster with a battle in the house? It's a rat's nest in there. We'll lose.
I like our chances now.
And Doris Kearns Goodwin joins us on the line. Welcome back to Here and Now.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Start with that battle over the 13th Amendment. As we heard, many telling Lincoln, hold off. The war's almost over. The South, the Confederacy, ready to give in. Don't pick this fight. But at one point in the film, President Lincoln, this quiet man, has an outburst with his cabinet, banging the table, demanding, get the votes needed to pass this. Did that really happen?
Yes. In fact, the words that he says, I am president, clothed with immense powers. You will procure me those votes. Those are Lincoln's words. He could, obviously, when he needed to be strong, even as his instincts were to try and bring everybody from different factions together. So that was the perfect combination, and he knew that 13th Amendment had to be passed because he feared that once the war was over, the Emancipation Proclamation no longer had the same legal status. And theoretically, slavery could come back.
Well, and remind us more of the stakes here, because as we see in the film, he's holding off a peace delegation from the Confederate leaders, literally sending them, you know, here and there so that they don't get to Washington in time. But in so doing that, in holding off the end of the Civil War while he makes this effort to pass this bill, he knows more people are going to die in that Civil War, perhaps even his son. And by the way, is that all true?
Yep. No, the amazing thing, too, is that by choosing this story within the story, the battle for the 13th Amendment, they capture every part of Lincoln's larger struggle during the war itself. So, for example, even during the war before these last months, he worried about every life that was lost. He was saving the Union, ending slavery. He thought it was worth that. But at this particular time, as you completely understand from your question, it's much more intense because by deliberately postponing the peace talks, then every life is really on his soul. So you feel him when he goes to the battlefront. He'd been a dozen times before. This time, more than ever before, he's feeling the pain of knowing the responsibility that he's taken.
No, and yet he still does, because to him, it's worth it. The end is worth it. So, Doris Kearns Goodwin, take that legislative battle and tell us how it might inform battles today. We're going to go back to the film more, but, you know, he also has this, or his people have this sort of trio of almost cartoon characters go pay off equally cartoonish lawmakers to try to win their votes. So do you sidle up to President Obama and say, listen, let's review history. Lincoln, you know, held off a peace delegation and paid off lawmakers to do what he thought was right. You know, how does a President Obama learn from what Lincoln did?
Well, I think what it shows is that you have to be relentless to get Congress to do something, and you have to pressure them both from the inside and the outside. I mean, clearly in Lincoln's time, you could give jobs to people because there was no civil service. So you could promise them things that may not be legal today. But think about even the battle over health care. There was such an outcry about various things that were promised to various people. That's what compromise is about. And if you have a goal that's a worthy goal, then hopefully this Congress will recognize they have to do something. You've got to play on their sense that they're there for a purpose. And if they were to allow this fiscal cliff to go over, or us to go over it, then they're not doing what they're meant to do. And a president is in a stronger hand now, having just won the election.
Well, and President Lincoln was also being pushed from his left flank by abolitionists who wanted even more from him. They didn't want just the 13th Amendment. They wanted to grant blacks the right to vote, and he had to hold them at bay. I don't want to give away too much, so let's not name the character. But is it true that there was a lawmaker, an abolitionist, who was going home obviously a white lawmaker, who was going home to a black woman posing as his slave, but who was really his lover.
No, history knows about that relationship. So, I mean, most of the material in the movie is so authentically based. I mean, sometimes, obviously, the conversations between those crazy characters who are the lobbyists, they're not well-known. But all the well-known figures, it is based on what we know. So things like that, you know, you don't know great details, but you certainly know that there was a relationship.
Well, and a little more about the history here. A.O. Scott, you know, reviews the film in the Times and says it's an answer to past film, from D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, which glorified racist violence, to Gone with the Wind, which romanticizes the Old South. But historian Kate, I believe it's Mazur, also writing in the Times, says she was disappointed because she says the film portrays African Americans as passive, you know, faithful servants waiting for this day of jubilee.
I don't think that's really true in many ways. I mean, she too mentions the opening of the film is so powerful, where you see an African American soldier arguing with Lincoln about their not having been given the same pay, not the same chances for advancement, and he's the one who actually finishes the Gettysburg Address. I think that's such a powerful beginning.
Okay, wait a second. Did that really happen? Because right off the bat, I thought, wait a second. The president is visiting the battlefield during the Civil War, and a black soldier from a black armament steps up to him and challenges him and then recites the Gettysburg Address.
Now, that may be creative license, but what is true is that he did talk to those soldiers. As I say, he went a dozen times. He would have had conversations. My guess is that he would have had some of them complaining to him, and he understood that it was long before he was able to get the Congress and get himself to agree to the equal pay. So those battles were very real, and I'm very sure that the kind of confidence that the African Americans got because they fought so bravely in battle would have been exercised, and he would have listened to that. There's no question he would have taken that argument right in stride.
And just in the minute we have left, Doris, what else is President Obama taking? We read that piece in the Times about how he met with historians like you early on to try to shape his image and the image perhaps of others. And, you know, historian Julian Zelicher said, well, maybe you should just try to be yourself and not look too much to the past.
Well, I don't think you're really trying to be another president. I think what you can hopefully do, history, if we do it right, can tell you about the struggles and the triumphs of other presidents. They've been through similar battles, even if the context is different. And you got to hope you can learn from all of them. Otherwise, what's the point of history? It would make my whole career crazy. And for all of us as individuals, we learn from the past. We acknowledge errors. We see what people screwed up in the past, what they did well. So I think he loves history, and I think that's a good thing for all of us, that our president should care about history. Truman loved history. FDR did. Teddy Roosevelt did. It's a good thing.
Historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, her book Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln, a part of it, the basis for the new book Lincoln. Doris, thanks so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Good to be with you again.
Thank you, you too. And terrific film. Great Thanksgiving viewing, and great Thanksgiving plans next with Kathy Gunst.